I guess that's the challenge. It's really simple. It's a simple call. Are you up for it? Do you want to move forward with God according to who you really are? You know? Maybe slowly, maybe bit by bit, maybe looping around a little bit. But, you know, moving forward with God from the heart. That's the key, that's the question, isn't it? I'll get that in a moment, actually. So, saying yes to the parish adventure, to be the pilgrim people, passing through, living alongside others, making a difference. When we're journeying and we feel, you know, it's painful and it's troublesome and there's trial and there's difficulty, maybe even discipline from God, the pruning that happens, then, okay, we submit to that. We submit to God in that. In the seeking, you know, intentionally saying, I'm going to do something to look for God in everything that I engage in, actually, moment by moment, to see where is God here. Let's be intentional about making a decision to follow God. But then look, there's a lot of journeys we find in the Bible. And by the way, the way I prepared for this was very simple this weekend. I said, I wonder what journeys there are in the Bible. Let's think of some. And I wrote down a bit of paper, all the journeys I could think of that happened in the Bible right through. And I don't know how many, I had 30 or so that I'd thought of off the top of my head. But I thought, is there some themes here? Are there different types of journeys? What journeys do we find in the Bible? And I thought, actually, really interesting how this seems to fit some of what God is saying to us at the moment. We see a lot of journeys where it's a difficult journey, it's an unwelcome journey. We see a lot of journeys where people are seeking God. We see a lot of journeys where people just encounter God, where they see God breaking out. And I loved what Kathy was saying about the different kinds of see in the Greek. I didn't know that. She's quite a good Greek scholar herself, actually. But wonderful how Mary Magdalene saw, you know, really saw the glory of God, saw right to the heart of what was happening. And this happens as we see God. And this is perhaps in the parallel vine analogy in John 17, John 15, even the fruitfulness of what happens as we go on this journey with God. So here's a few examples from the Bible, some things. And I took those words from Jesus to Martha in John chapter 11, verse 40, you know, just before he raises Lazarus from the dead. He has this chat with Martha, and Martha's moved on a lot. You know, before it was Mary sat at Jesus' feet and Martha was busying herself, and Jesus says, you know, the important thing is to spend time with me here, and Martha's allowed to do that as well, you know, almost giving her permission. And here Martha is the one who's actually much more in tune with what's going on in this moment. And Jesus leads her and has this conversation and says, didn't I tell you, if you believed, you would see the glory of God. Some people say seeing is believing. Oh, I believe it when I see it. You know, a lot of people see it and still don't believe it. But actually believing is seeing. This is the way around that Jesus sees it. If you believe, you will see the glory of God. And as we trust God, and belief in this sense, it's not just a passive thing, I've signed up to this statement of faith. It's really belief, it's really letting go, it's really trusting in God as we move forward with him in this journey. As we trust God and keep going, we'll see the glory of God. So here's Mary Magdalene at the tomb, really seeing the glory of God in a way that others hadn't seen. The first to see the risen Christ and to testify to that. Another journey when actually they entered the promised land, seeing God go before them, go ahead of them, seeing the glory of God as they journeyed. Returning from exile, what an amazing thing as Nehemiah comes back from exile. And you know that sort of Ezra goes ahead and there's an attempt to build the walls, and then some people see that actually the Israelites are coming home to Jerusalem and the things are all being developed, and so they say, well, we don't like this very much, and the locals say they sort of gang up on them and they report them, and there's an edict that comes and says, no, actually this isn't very good, the walls are pulled down, the gates are destroyed. So it's almost like 70 years in exile. Then they go back, their hopes are lifted, things begin to be restored and to return, and then there's opposition and it's all crumbled. And this is the news that Nehemiah gets. You know, how's it going? People have gone back. How's the rebuilding? And he hears the news and he's absolutely downcast. So he gets the vision and he's released to go on the journey, to go back, to rebuild the walls. And he's connecting in with God. He's deliberately, intentionally seeking God. He goes there and in 52 days, you know, in a very short space of time, they rebuild the walls. He gathers people. Just amazing story of restoration. And especially after the enemies had stirred up Cyrus against them, but Cyrus changes his mind when he sees Nehemiah, who intercedes for the people. A great story of seeing God come, seeing the glory of God as he journeys. I just love the story of the Ethiopian eunuch in the chariot, just going on his own way, studying the book of Isaiah, kind of interested in this stuff. I wonder what this means. Suffering servants, and don't really get this. What's happening? And Philip is just led there for that moment. And on this journey, this surprise encounter, he's kind of looking for God a little bit in this thing, his study, trying to find out. But then God breaks through and he sees something of, this is what it's about. Philip comes, let me explain to you what it is. I suppose you could think of the disciples on the Emmaus Road as well, you know, different kind of seeing. But as they journey along, Jesus appears and they don't see him for who he is, but actually he talks to them and their hearts are warmed as he explains the scriptures. And then when they do, when it comes to the breaking of the bread, they suddenly realize who it is and he disappears. It's a very strange story, but kind of playful of God, I think. But here is people seeing God in fresh ways, sometimes unexpected ways, surprising ways, God being visible. But sometimes it's more intentional. You know, Peter and John go to pray. They meet the lame man. That's a very short journey, a journey to the temple. But here they are. They know they've been commissioned to share the kingdom of God, to do the things that Jesus has been doing, to continue that work. And so they see the lame man. Here's an opportunity. And they give him his hand. We don't have silver and gold, but what we have, we give. Rise up and walk. Or wider, all of Paul's missionary journeys, his four journeys around about as he's going out to share the gospel. And so many great things are happening as he goes around, as he shares some opposition as well. But seeing the glory of God. We could do a lot in Paul's missionary journeys. But actually, this is embracing the call, the invitation to journey with God, to trust him, to move forward from the heart, to step into that call. And they see God at work. And then, of course, when Jesus comes back, that's a great journey. The return of Christ. We've been looking at that over the summer. But as Jesus returns, we'll see the glory of God in a really special way. In fact, everyone will see and know what's really been true all the time. You know, a lot of journeys. You could think of some more. Journeys of seeing God. Journeys where we recognize it's unwelcome and there's trial, journeys where we begin to seek God, but here, journeys where we encounter God, whether it's a deliberate, I'm setting off because God has called me this way and I'm expecting to see his glory break out in some way, or whether we're just going along and suddenly we encounter God in a surprise and we see his glory. You know, that prayer of Jesus in John 17, coming back to there, Jesus says, I'm not praying for the world, I'm praying for my people, the ones who believe in me. Not just these people I've been walking with these last 3 years, but all the people who are going to believe because of their testimony. And I'm not praying for the world, but I'm concerned about the world. And he goes on to say, these people are going to be the ones who are in the world. I'm going out of the world, but you're not. You're in it. You're the pilgrim people. You're the ones passing through. You're the ones who are going to be living alongside others as you pass through. And the world will see my love, my truth. And the world will believe because they'll see my life in these people. That's just how it works. So there's something there about seeing the glory of God as we journey through this world, also revealing the glory of God so that others can see too. Here we go. this is the last slide, I think, almost. We had some time away with different leadership teams, so the ministry team, the leadership team in Mole Barton Church, and also the PCC have had some time away. But the leadership team went to Rosemary Watkinson in what's it, Gawthorpe Manor. Lovely. We saw the tiger's head on the wall and the pistols that you could 10 paces and turn. It's a lovely place, lots of lovely artwork on that thing. But we were sat in her, what did she call it? The first class end of the house, not the servants' entrance. Was it the drawing room we were in? I think we were in the drawing room. And we just said, okay, let's start just by praying. We'll just ask God, what are you saying to us? Where are you leading us? Let's just open ourselves and wait on him and see what comes. And as we were praying, something that really struck me is something that Ian noticed. I hadn't noticed it so much as we were praying, but there was a couple of flies just buzzing around, making noise, buzz, 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 around and around in the room. And we got to the end of the prayer time, and Ian said, I just think that fly's significant. Just buzzing around, just buzzing and buzzing. Maybe God is calling us to stop some things. I don't know, just to stop. You know, the fly's buzzing, but he's not getting anywhere. Actually, there's a journey this fly's on, but it's not moving forward. It's just kind of moving round and round and this. And we thought, yeah, there's something there. And as we continued just to pray and we shared what we were feeling, these four words really seemed to be anchor points around what we were hearing. First, that need just to stop some of the buzzing. The need to submit to some of the stuff that God has been doing among us, to recognize his hand on some of that. The need to seek him in a fresh way so that we can see him in a fresh way. And as I was thinking about the journeys that are in the Bible, it reminded me something of these words, actually submitting, seeking, so that we can see. Real calls to action. Do we want to stop some stuff? Do we want to submit to God, even if it might be painful? Do we want to seek him in a fresh way, intentionally? Do we want to see the glory of God? There's some questions. And it's keying in. Is this the desire that we recognise in us or not? And as we were thinking through, what is it that God's saying to us? Some of the two key contexts as we pursue, you know, the bigger picture stuff is this idea of the parish context. And I think it was on that day, sort of, I think God's really calling us to be an Anglican parish church. And actually, that's quite exciting. That's quite something. We're the people passing through. Others are looking to. We're visible in the community already. People are streaming to us, quite a steady stream of people who come through. What can we do to be the parish church in a way that's the best parish church we can be? The people of God, as God calls us. And this other context, the whole idea of the welcome, really drawn to that, and I'm really glad to have the opportunity over Lent this year to look through some of the research that some people have done around the theme of welcome in church and how God is a welcoming God and we're his welcoming people and how we actually express that in terms of the whole program of what we do, the Sunday mornings, the whole thing, the whole approach to our buildings, to how we advertise, to the heating, to the experience on a Sunday morning, to the friendships that develop, to the way that people encounter God in a way that's accessible, the whole culture of welcome in the life of the church. And really interesting to get some feedback, and about half of the regulars from across the benefice participated during that Lent course, and so we ended up with a set of data that said this is a good indicator of people's perception of how we're doing on various measures based on different bits of research. And just in processing that, we've taken some action to address some things, and we reviewed it just at PCC last week, our Saturday. And it was really, really encouraging to say, actually, we've already done a fair bit. We've got plans to address some other stuff here. This feels good. This feels good. And this feels the right sort of context to be, to help us shape and refocus as we journey with God to wherever God leads. And this other work that we've been doing around vision and values, so I've met with two of the PCCs, the leadership team at Mobart, and we're meeting with Brackenash and Flawden next month. Again, just this creative process saying, can we clarify, simplify, where are we going and what are we really about? What is the stuff that really drives us and we get excited about and so on? And a couple of things on that, looking at the John 17. Have you spotted that? Hands up, be nourished, isn't there? John 17, of course, where Jesus prays for his church, becoming the church Jesus prayed for. Wouldn't that be wonderful? This is just an expression of God's desire, Jesus' desire for his church. And some great things in there for us to aspire to and value. And just the up and the in and the out sort of dimension of that. And in John 17, you get it, this relating to God and being connected with him, this loving one another and being in fellowship and in unity with our brothers and sisters in Christ, and that in dimension, you know, strengthening that, but also that the world may see. It's the out dimension. And so attending to these three dimensions, the up and the in and the out, and it was just before the PCC I realised our memory verses of the last 3 years actually fit this quite well. Can anyone remember what they are? So 3 years ago, when I first came, that the memory verse for 2014 was Joshua chapter 3, verse 5. Consecrate yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do amazing things among you. That sense of the up dimension. Consecrate yourselves. I think there's still stuff in there for us to work with. And 2015, our verse for the year was from John's Gospel. Chapter 13, verse. Tom knows it because he told me it and I'd forgotten. And now I'll put you on the spot. 35. John 13, 35. A new commandment I give you, that you love one another. Yeah. And that in dimension, that, you know, relating to one another. And then 2016, this year, from 1 Peter, I'll put them up for you. Chapter 2, verse 9. A chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvellous light. That sense that, yes, this is who we are, so let's share it. Let's allow that to be seen. The up, the in and the out. It's kind of there. It wasn't by design, but actually it's quite neat. This excites me, some of this stuff. As we begin to clarify some of this vision, yeah, I want to be connected with God. I want to be connected in a deep way, walking with others through all the, you know, diverse experience of life that we share together. And I want to be reaching out and really visible and connecting meaningfully with people in the communities that we serve. To be the church that Jesus prayed for. To stop the buzzing. To journey with God from the heart in a way that's fresh and true to who we are and who God calls us to be. We're still developing, clarifying exactly, you know, a form of words that perhaps can help us as we make decisions about various things as they come, as we look for some inspiration to move forward. But I wanted just to give you a flavour of where we're at with this process and how it feels good and timely. And to ask you, again, you know, would you like to go on an adventure? Shall we stand up? You don't have to stand up. Let me put it like this. Stand up if you want to just respond to that, and I'll say a prayer. I mean, if you want to say, yeah, actually, I'm up for a journey with God. I'm up for this thing. Together with others, and we're just open our hearts and respond and ask for that. Lord God, we just thank you for the privilege being involved with you. Thank you that your grace has come to us and we've seen something of you and we've responded with our limited vision, and yet we've responded and you've worked, and your grace is just incredible. And Lord, we don't always get it right, and we haven't always got it right, and our journey's been up and down and muddled sometimes, and perhaps sometimes we've not seen things so clearly or lost our way a little bit. Lord, you see the end from the beginning and you know, but Lord, as well, we've seen you at work and we know that we've put feet in one in front of the other, and we have made progress and we have seen good things. And Lord, we treasure and celebrate the good that you've been doing among us, and we give ourselves to you for the next leg of the journey. Thank you for the way you call us to journey with you. Thank you. Come, Holy Spirit. Fill us afresh. Fill us with all that we need to journey meaningfully with you. All the necessary gifts of your Spirit, the fruit of your Spirit, that love and joy and peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control. Fill us, equip us, lead us. Lead us, Heavenly Father. Lead us, Holy Spirit, on this journey together with you. Awaken our hearts. Come, Holy Spirit, we pray. And Lord, you see each one of us individually as you call us to contribute, to participate, to be part of this journey. Each one of us needs you in our own special way. And we pray that you'd come to us now, visit us, just as we have now. Gracious God. We pray that you'd be able to find the unevangelized areas of our lives deep within and enter there too. Increase our capacity to house you. Help us, we pray. In Jesus' name. It's a great privilege to be travelling with you. Great journey that we're on together. I'm looking forward to what happens next. Next chapter of the journey.